James the Lesser received the surprise of his life that first Easter Sunday. But truthfully, not only James, but also the disciples were surprised at what took place that morning after Passover weekend and the Saturday Sabbath concluded. God decided that the lesser ones needed to experience the surprise of Jesus' resurrection from the tomb first. Have you ever been really surprised? Maybe if someone sneaks up on you, perhaps it was a gift that someone gave you for Christmas or an anniversary party, something that you're not expecting. See, when Cindy and I first got married, I would do every single Christmas what I called the gift of the heart. And do you know what the best gift of the heart gift ever was? It cost me $8 and it meant the most to Cindy. You see, when her grandmother passed away, what she left her was a little hand mirror and a brush. And Cindy would use this little hand mirror every single morning. And one morning she dropped it and it caused a crack to go right down through the middle of it. Well, I remember how disappointed she was. She still used it every morning, but this time as she looked into it, her vision was blurred because you have that crack in the middle. So one year, what I did is on Christmas Eve, I had an appointment set up at a glass shop and I went and took it in and they replaced her mirror glass, put it into the same handheld mirror, and I wrapped that up. At Christmas morning, she opened that up and tears streamed down her face. See, when someone loves you so much and they surprise you, it really ministers deep to your heart. Have you ever been super surprised? Maybe you had a surprise party that someone who loved you and thought enough about you threw. You know, everybody's in the house and you turn off all the lights and all of a sudden everyone is made to be quiet. And when that honored guest walks through the door, everybody jumps out of somewhere and yells, "Surprise!" One of those personality traits of Jesus that we see in the Bible is that he loves to surprise people, doesn't he? And on that first Easter Sunday morning, when Jesus came back to life and rose from the grave, he gave a lesser one who had been at the cross and the tomb when they placed his body inside a surprise that he would never, ever forget. No, it wasn't James the Lesser's time. It was someone who in that day would have been viewed in public eyes of even lesser than James. Jesus gave a woman named Mary Magdalene the surprise of her life that morning. Just think about the surprise from a cultural standpoint. God gave the whole resurrection story first to a group of women who were viewed at that time as lesser in society than what we would ever imagine. Nobody was expecting that surprise in the first century. A woman's word and testimony, they weren't even admissible in court back then. It was a male-dominated society where women had no rights. And women, they weren't a threat. They did not carry much weight. And God decides in this most significant moment in history to spring a massive surprise and value women in an extraordinary way. This massive surprise was how God decided to write history, write women's rights in the most crucial part of the story and give them the shot to tell the rest of the disciples what had happened. One of the primary reasons the Easter story is so hard to dismiss as anything but the facts is because it was commonly known that women were the ones who told the disciples. But if anyone but God were writing history, they would have rewritten it as men who were at the tomb to get this valuable information first. But they couldn't rewrite history to take women out of this story. And everybody knows that the ones who write the history book are the victors in history. They're the winners, that the ones are who get to write that story. If it was anybody but God writing the story, they would not have picked that supposedly insignificant group of women whose testimony would not have been admissible in a court of law. Instead, they would have chosen a group of men. Peter or John, or perhaps even James the Lesser to advance this story. But that's not how God works. He works through the least expected, the lowly, the seemingly insignificant, because they typically are the ones that will give God the most glory. God chose the women because God values women. Jesus is the greatest advocate for women in all of history. And it was Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus had the first encounter with after he rose from the dead, that gave her the biggest surprise of all time. John chapter 20 records this surprise. Now, Mary Magdalene experienced, on the heels of seeing Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, before being placed in the tomb at sundown on Friday evening just a few days earlier. Let's read John 20, verse 1 to 2. Now, on that first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They had taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." One question worth asking from this story is, why did Mary Magdalene run to tell these things to Peter? See, it's important to stay curious when we read the Bible. One thing we know is that out of all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one gives an account of what happened at the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection. The reason why Mary Magdalene ran and told these things to Peter is really tied into a perspective that is shared from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16. These verses from Mark show in a way that is not included in the other three Gospels. Let's read it. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away this stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You see Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they lay him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Look closely again at what the angel told Mary Magdalene and the ladies who were with her at the tomb in verse 7. "But go tell disciples and Peter." I love that. Underline those two words in your Bibles right now. And the angel of the Lord specifically said to Mary Magdalene and Peter. Those two words are going to be very important when it comes to Jesus surprising more of his followers later than that certainly included James the Lesser. See, the reason why we see Mary Magdalene running to Peter and telling Peter and the other disciples what she saw in the empty tomb that first East Sunday morning is because the angel of the Lord told her to do it. He told her to make sure among all the disciples whom she would tell, be sure to tell Peter. Now hold that detail in your mind as we continue with the account of John chapter 20, where Mary Magdalene is about to start running with the news of this massive surprise. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciples outran Peter and reached the tomb first and stopped to look in. He saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following in and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying on the floor and face cloth, which had been laid on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up by itself in its place. The other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Now, according to the Bible, at this point in the story, Peter and the other disciple, of whom most scholars believe was John, got the news of Jesus' resurrection from who? Mary Magdalene. So after hearing the news from her, they went to the tomb to see for themselves. They seemed to walk out scratching their heads, not knowing what to think, like most guys probably would have. Now, at this point, there doesn't seem to be a lot of emotion. The surprise is coming. But what about Mary Magdalene? What emotion is she feeling right about now? See, verse 11 helps us to answer that question. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she stopped to look into the tomb. See, this probably was not the first time she had cried that weekend. She undoubtedly cried at the cross. In fact, John 19:25 says, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were her mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." So she likely cried when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus placed Jesus' dead body inside the tomb. Wouldn't have you? Matthew 27:57-61 says, "When it was evening, there came a rich young man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen, shroud, and left it, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone in the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb." So it's not difficult to picture Mary Magdalene sitting there at the tomb, watching these men put Jesus, whom she loved, inside and wondering herself, what in the world just happened? Just a few days ago, people were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," at that grand parade when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. And now he's dead. What in the world just took place? God may be about to surprise us with his best when our life feels like it's at its worst. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. It says, "God often chooses to move more through the window of pain in our life than at any other time." My friends, if you were walking through a season of pain in your life right now, even though everybody else on Facebook seems to be having just the best day of their lives, you may be crying like Mary Magdalene on the inside. Remember, Jesus has been known to surprise people in the midst of life's deepest valleys. Jesus shows up and surprises people in their deepest valleys in throughout the Bible. Let's look at John 11, where it says, "Jesus raised his friend named Lazarus from the dead. Isn't that a big surprise? John chapter 8, Jesus forgives a woman caught in the act of adultery when she should have been stoned to death. Surprise! John chapter 4, Jesus helps a woman at the well who had a sinful past and a shady present walk into a brand new future of hope when she finds out that he is the Messiah. Surprise! Luke chapter 7, Jesus brings to life the only son of a distraught widow. Oh, Jesus is amazing. Surprise! Luke 23, Jesus assures a dying convict next to him on the cross. As they finish hanging there, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Surprise. As it pertains to a weeping Mary Magdalene, watch now how Jesus surprises her when he speaks her name. Watch her frown turn upside down when the Messiah whom she loves calls her by name. See, a man she had watched die earlier in the week has now come to finish this burial preparation is about to get a massive surprise. Let's pick up that story in John 20, starting in verse 11. "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stood stopped to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to him, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Do you know what all of heaven must have screamed out in that moment when Jesus flipped on the lights for Mary to see who he was? Who it was standing alive right before him? It was like, "Okay, guys, gather around, watch this." And as soon as he said, "Mary," surprise, he's alive. What a moment that must have been. The one Mary loved, whom he saw put to death on a Friday, was now alive on a Sunday. Praise God. And not only did Jesus rise, but also Mary's love for Jesus came alive at that moment with unrestrained joy and hope. Biblical scholar William Barclay says it like this: "No one ever loved Jesus as much as Mary Magdalene." Now, why would he say that? Maybe it was because Jesus had cast 7 demons from inside her out earlier in his life. You see, when Jesus does something supernatural for you, there is such a connection that people can say, there's no such thing as Jesus. And you're like, "I have walked with him." You can say whatever you want, but I know. And Mary having 7 demons cast out of her, that would have put a connection so intimately of thankfulness. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. "Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also some women had been healed of evil spirit infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out." Maybe it was because Jesus was the first man to treat her with dignity and respect. Maybe it was because Jesus always made time for her and made her feel valuable without wanting anything in return. Maybe it was because Jesus gave her hope as he spoke and taught with an authority and power. Whatever the reason, Mary Magdalene deeply loved Jesus as a person, as the Messiah, and as her personal Savior. When Jesus spoke her name in verse 16, Mary, she knew at that moment it was Jesus. The reason she knew was because earlier in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is describing himself as the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep, he says, "My sheep know my voice and they follow me." Mary knew the voice of her good shepherd named Jesus. I guess that poses a question for you on this magnificent Easter Sunday morning. Would you know it was Jesus if he spoke your name right now? Remember earlier, I encouraged you to underline the name of someone else that had a huge role in this Easter Sunday surprise that Jesus wanted to make sure was included? His name was Peter. Peter must have been overcome with emotion when Jesus surprises him because he remembered his name. When it comes to being surprised by Jesus in the end, his word found in Revelation chapter 3 summarizes what he wants the surprise to lean into life both now and throughout eternity. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." My friends, when was the last time Jesus surprised you? When was the last time he surprised you with hope or with joy or with a fresh start with a call of your name? He knows your name. And Jesus calls your name today on this Easter Sunday. I guess the question is, how will you respond? See, I don't know about you. Maybe there's a time in your life where you walked away from the Lord, where you're just like, I've tried this whole thing before, and something happened, a circumstance happened, a situation happened. This Easter Sunday, He's speaking to you. He's calling your name. Will you respond? Maybe right now, wherever you are, maybe right now you could go on your knees before God and say, Lord, you know my name, but help me to know your name. Help me to connect with your Holy Spirit. Help me to know you so well. See, our purpose and plan here at Summit Church is for our people to know God. I did a little devotional last week that said, actually, I think it's going to be shown after Easter. But the question is, in that little devotional that we recorded last week, it was that in the end times, people are going to fall away. If we know God intimately, if our roots are so deep within His Spirit, within His Word, we could have that anchor in our life that will sustain us through any trial, any situation, knowing that if God is for us, who can be against us? This Easter Sunday, the Lord is challenging you in your spirit to know Him deeply. Can you take a few moments and ponder that? Can you take a few moments and rest on the Lord? And maybe even if you have your journals with you, as Patrick and the team are leading worship, maybe take this as an opportunity to close your eyes and journal. Lord, how can I know you deeper? Lord, if you spoke my name right now, would I recognize you? Would it bring that aha moment like it did for Mary? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Dig deep into His wells, into His presence this Easter Sunday. God bless you.